I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg. Ken's on the other side of the glass. The band is back together again, with the exception of Ringo. Although you guys have been drumming a lot this morning. A lot. Yeah.
He's good at it. Ken's real good.
Air drumming?
He's real good. He's great.
You want to feel old?
That
John McEnroe is 61 today.
You know what?
61. You know what? John McEnroe.
You know what? It gets mad, and he's still selling tickets off of. You cannot be serious.
He's still.
People, you know, he plays those old senior set matches with whatnot with the guys who are over 40 or whatever, over 50. People still want to see him yell at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They still want to see him yell at somebody. That's like it's become a shtick. It's become a routine. He still can play a little decent tennis for a guy his age, but people want to see him yell. They pay money. They still want to see him yell at somebody.
Let me ask you a question. Realistically, I would say it was probably – how old is Serena?
38 now.
Okay. 38? So when she was 28, 10 years ago, McEnroe would have been 51. The conversation started because that was around the time that Bobby Riggs, he challenged Billie Jean King. So remember the conversation about could Venus or Serena beat John McEnroe in a tennis match? What side of the fence were you on with that? Did you think he even at 50 he could have beaten her or she could have taken him? He would have been 28.
Yep.
He'd have been 51.
Yep, and that was really, really, really prime time.
I mean,
for her.
A thing too.
Yeah, yeah, but he still would have found some kind of way to probably pull it out. You know what I mean? She was at a power game because his game was never a power game. His game was always a finesse game. You know, which is a contrast to the guys with the power game that was coming on in tennis.
Well, that's why I would think it would be something that would be interesting because he didn't have power in his game. And with her power, at least for comparably speaking on the women's side, I just thought it'd be.
It would be entertaining. I wouldn't say it would be an entertaining
but
match
I mean,
now.
I think
it'd be entertaining
that she
match.
Might, I think she would have had him. If for nothing else, she would outrun him. Because again, she's 28, she's in her prime. I would have loved to have seen that happen. Absolutely love. And people don't realize, and I don't really realize because I was barely paying attention, but that event, when it happened, was Super Bowl-like.
It was.
When Billie Jean King played Bobby Riggs. Ain't nobody heard of Bobby Riggs. It would have been different if she was playing like Rod Laver.
Yeah.
But Bobby Riggs, who the heck was Bobby Riggs?
He's a guy just kind of self-promoted. He just talked his way into it.
Carnival Barker.
Yeah, he talked his way into it, and there you go. The rest is history. He managed to get there. This game's coming up tonight, this All-Star game, and we just had a big event here, Super Bowl Sunday. And people watch Super Bowl for a lot of different reasons. Some people watch, you know, for the entertainment. They watch to see who's going to, you know, pregame, who's going to sing.
Commercials.
And they watch for commercials. They watch for halftime entertainment. And the NBA All-Star game has some of that too. So you wonder what people will watch for different things during the game that they want to watch. Obviously, today the day to watch, especially for Kobe tributes that may happen before the game or may happen at halftime. We will watch for those things as well. But one of the things people watch for are commercials for these. I don't know how much commercial spots.
Okay.
I don't know what commercial spots go for in this game. You know,
they don't go Super Bowl like because
But it's still high profile, though. It's still
yes,
a high profile
yeah,
sporting event. And there's a chance, you know, there's a spot there. I remember you did one that
did
showed
one
up
last year. Well, yep. Ernie Johnson.
Yeah.
I've been blessed lately, man. The Geico that went last year started this weekend. It started during the.
So it's back again.
It's not back again. Another one.
Another one.
So I got to do another one. And if it is run similar to last year's, it'll air tonight for the first time at some point. And it's a Geico, and then we'll run through March Madness.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to happen, so we'll see.
You know.
And then Cody Shane's career seems to be taking off.
How about that?
So they're rerunning the Sprite commercial. So I could be like Shaq tonight. I could have like multiple commercials.
One of it, right?
How cool. And Ken said, yes, multiple checks.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the best part.
As Matthew McConaughey said, the best part about being in show business, mailbox money. The absolute best part. Yeah. But no, I should say the star, there's a couple that were shot, and one of them is one that you need to really watch out for, and that's with Candace Parker.
Okay.
So Ernie's not in the one I did this year. I did something else. I'm not going to
tell
you what
it is. She's out at All-Star. She's up at All-Star. She's up at that.
Well, she's from Chicago. She's from Naperville.
Okay.
Here in one of the southern suburbs.
Okay.
Down by the jail.
Down by the, huh?
Yeah. Naperville's not far from Joliet, and Joliet's got the jail. And remember Blues Brothers?
They do have the big jail.
All of that stuff.
Yep.
So, again, tonight, though, how many – I don't know how to even pose this question to you, but – I think the matchup that you're looking for are the two captains.
Oh, absolutely.
There's two things. You want to see those two guys, and you want to see everybody get out healthy. Okay? And because he didn't do very well in the three-point contest, you want to see Trae Young bust somebody's ankles.
You do.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's the thing you want to see tonight. I think most of us will be watching here in Atlanta to see how our guy. We haven't had a starter. We haven't had a starter since with Mutombo.
Right.
In the All-Star game. So it's been a long time since we had a starter. From the Atlanta Hawks, represent the city, represent our NBA team. So to me, that makes tonight big and something people are definitely going to watch for.
By the way, did you hear, you seem sort of in disbelief when I mentioned this to you. We were talking about the slam dunk contest. This wasn't yesterday, but it was last week. And I had mentioned to you that this age group right now doesn't look at Michael as the end-all, be-all, or the gold standard as far as dunkers. It's Vince Carter. And that played out yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw that. This is the guy who this group of young players, they look at him as like, Mike was okay and Mike was good, but Vince jumped out of the gym. It's like what we used to say, it's kind of like combining Michael's abilities and what he did with Dominique's ability to jump out of the gym.
Right.
You put them two together and you had Vince Carter.
Yeah, yep. And that you kind of combine the two. In an age, and maybe that's the reason why we haven't seen a lot of the stars participate since then, because they said, man, we can't do what that guy did. You know, so, I mean, you don't see a lot of your big-name guys going out and participating.
Well, you ain't going to see Aaron Gordon no more either, because he's done with it.
That's why.
He's ass a wrap. He's been ripped off twice. He's done. If I was him, I'd go back to the Bahamas, man, during this time and just hang out. I wonder what island he's from, though, because I've looked at a couple places, and it just says the Bahamas. Yeah, I mean, they got 700 islands, but still, yeah. Is it Freeport? Is it Nassau? Is it, you know, one of the others? Who knows? Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You actually went down a road I didn't think you were going down because I wanted to ask you about was this is a red shirt Sunday, but he's sitting at 5 over par, meaning Tiger Woods. So there's no chance of him winning this thing.
No.
But we got into the conversation about he being one victory away from passing Sam Snead and owning the record as far as golf. Serena is one victory away in majors from passing Margaret Court and being on their mountaintop. Which one gets there first? And then you got into this whole thing where you start talking about the tune-ups that happened beforehand and Tiger getting ready to head to Florida, and I'm thinking, golf, you can pick and choose where your tune-up is. It's not specifically set for that particular major.
Well, they're all tune-ups, but I mean, you think in tennis, the week before is the tune-up event.
Exactly.
But it's not.
Well, what's the one in front of Wimbledon? Okay, if you want to say
the U.S.
Open.
You got several different ones. You got Eastbourne, you got Queens Club, you got about three different grass court events. You got about 3 weeks of grass court. I mean, that's the thing. They're going to go over the seas of clay court. You're going to have about 5 weeks of clay court tournaments before you get to the French Open. All of those are tune-ups, and usually the big players won't play the one the week before because they're going to go and play at Roland Garros. They're going to go and practice at Roland Garros. They're going to go practice at Wimbledon. You have tune-up events here for the U.S. Open, but usually the one the week before, a lot of the big players won't do that. They'll go to New York because they got other stuff to do. They got contract obligations. They got appearances to make for their apparel, for different sponsors to do things like that. So that's why during those weeks, they practice at the place. They're in the city. Now, other guys who are down the line, they'll go and play that. Because the big fish are away, it's a chance for them to make some money. So they're going to play them tune-up events. You know, they kind of need that. They may need the points. But usually your favorites usually don't play the immediate week before of the big tournament.
So the anomaly was this year, Serena played the tune-up before the Australian Open.
She played 2 weeks before the tournament.
Okay, but as you just said, it was a tune-up, though.
It's a tune-up, okay. But I mean, they're all tune-ups, but it's not the week before.
And how'd she do?
Well, she won that two
okay.
weeks before.
And people who win that tune-up don't normally win that tournament, whether it's a major or not. And we see that with the par three at Augusta.
Well, that's a par three. I wouldn't consider that the tune-up.
Yeah, well, I'm saying people – well, that's – I'm telling you, again, not a tune-up.
Well, but nobody ever wins the par three in the
that's what I'm – that was the bigger point I was trying to make to you.
No, but that's
I'm
the saying same to you, week.
If you win the par three, you don't win the Masters.
Well, that's different.
I didn't call it a tune-up. We were just talking about playing before the actual major. You brought this up, and I was making an analogy. The one that happens beforehand, the people who win that don't normally. And I was trying to draw a correlation. You were being just matter-of-factly about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, one's got nothing to do with the other, but the point of it is the people who have success before that major don't normally win. Anyway, we can go back and forth with this.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to get there first? Which is the bigger thing we're arguing about here?
I think Tiger has more opportunities. I think he's going on the Florida swing, and maybe he wins one of the tournaments in Florida. I think that could happen. He's got some courses coming up that he plays well at. You know, he's got Honda Classic. He's got the Arnold Palmer that he always plays in Orlando. You got the Players TPC at Ponte Vedra. To me, those are some opportunities right in there before he gets to the Masters in Augusta.
The thing about it is, Tiger, this has been a gradual ascent to the winner's circle again. And it's not been every tournament, obviously, but we've watched it come back, and we've watched him feel better over the last year or so. Serena, coming back from having the baby, she, boom, right back to the finals a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And what is it, and you could blame Naomi Osaka and where she fallen off to, by the way, too, for not getting
coaching in. Coaching change, but go ahead.
Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, it kind of happened after the coaching change. We'll see.
She had a sophomore slump too. You can look at it that way.
Maybe so. You know, we'll see.
It's just been interesting to watch how Tiger didn't, when he came back or was feeling better, he still had to work on those shots and work on the game. And shots in golf are just as strategic as the shots you have to learn and make sure that you can still do in tennis. Would you agree?
Oh, very much.
But yet Serena, boom, right back. Right back to the finals.
Well, you make it seem that now. I mean, we watched her do it. She had to work to get ready to be back in that position.
Well, I'm not
she
saying the work hasn't been put
she
in.
She just stumbled out the door and say, "All right, here I am, folks. I'm throwing a racket on the floor here, and I'm going to be in the finals." That kind of doesn't happen.
If you had to pick one of the tournaments the remainder of this tennis season, which one does she get that victory?
Wimbledon. I think she gets it at Wimbledon. I think that's it. She plays well at the French. She has played well at the French in the past, you know, and I think she'll go there and do well. I think the only thing she has between now and then will be in the States, will be in Miami. She's going to play that tournament. And, you know, I don't know if she still has her place in Paris. She had her house over there for a while. So she does like spending time there. Her husband's over there, you know. So, you know, she's comfortable there playing. But I think Wimbledon is where she gets a win.
All right, we'll see what's up next. We're going to talk NBA All-Star Weekend. And tonight is the game. Sekou Smith is up in Chicago. We're going to talk to him next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Rain falling outside. It's with 9 close up in the Kia Studios.
Nasty.
Yep, nasty.
Coming Did up you say good morning, everybody, by the way?
Morning.
All right, there you go.
Coming up top of the hour, we got John Fricke and Willie P. I think they're out there doing their push-ups and sit-ups.
And couldn't – why do you –
They're getting ready. They got to get ready, man.
Ain't nobody out there doing push-ups
and sit-ups.
Yeah, they
are. They got to get ready before they come into the Kia Studios. You got to be prepared.
Nobody out there doing no sit-ups. They're waking up.
You got to get your mind right, man.
Yes, right, but they ain't doing it with no sit-ups. You do a sit-up before we go on the air at 6 in the morning?
No, it's too early.
Yeah, exactly.
But I tell you, somebody who's ready for anything, because he's up in Chicago, your stomping grounds for All-Star Weekend. Sekou Smith from NBA TV, NBA.com, joins us on the waitfor.com hotline. Sekou, how is Chicago, man?
It's great.
It's a lot warmer today than it was 2 days ago, Sam. I'm actually walking down Rush Street right now.
I'm about to say, he's outside.
which would have been unbearable, too. It was two below the other day. I was ready to get on a flight and come back to Atlanta and go home, man. I wasn't trying to put up with the cold weather.
Walking down Rush Street, which means you can see Gibson's, too, right?
I can see a little bit of everything,
there
man.
There you go.
I'm in these streets right now. Get my early morning walk on.
See, these guys are smart. They're staying more closer to downtown. Then they travel, they Uber over to United Center. So that's
exactly.
how they do it.
All right, Cinco, who won the slam dunk last night? Come on, man.
Oh, Aaron Gordon won. I mean, he got robbed. There was no doubt about it. And we, you know, in the building, you know, we were writing. I closed my laptop. I was like, oh, story done. I was ready to file my story. I was like, oh, it's over. And when the 47 popped up, I was as shocked as everybody else. It was stunning. I mean, it was an unbelievable night for him to get perfect scores all the way through until that last dunk. It's just, I'm still upset. I woke up mad about it. Because I hate it for Aaron Gordon. That's twice now.
Yep.
Where he's outperformed the other guy, even if it's by the slimmest of margins. He was the better guy and didn't get the trophy, man. He's got two empty spots on his mantle where he should have slam dunk trophies.
And why wouldn't the league or why wouldn't whoever was there just call it a tie? Everybody else, and on TV watching it, everybody's saying it's going to be a tie. It's a tie. Shut it down.
Yeah, well, look, you can't manipulate it. If you want it to be done right, you got to allow the judges to make those choices. And, you know, now I know everybody's coming out saying there was an error on the scoring and this, that, and the other. But, Aaron, if you walked through that building last night and you didn't feel like Aaron Gordon won, I'm going to let you borrow my glasses for next year's dunk contest.
Really.
Man, bad, bad. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline, Cinco Smith. He's walking on Rush Street in Chicago this morning.
I got one I want to ask. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sam.
Go ahead.
But, Cinco, from your standpoint, who was the star's star last night in the building? Because I've been telling Sam that this generation doesn't look at Michael as the end-all, be-all as far as slam dunks. They look at Vince Carter. I don't know if he was in the building, but was he one of the people when the young players see him, they gravitate toward him?
You know, it's weird. I didn't see Vince last night. If he was in there, I didn't see him. Honestly, you don't know who got the loudest cheers last night? Scottie Pippen.
Really?
When they announced Scottie Pippen, he got more cheers than anybody. So, look, Chicago's a parochial town. This is a place that loves its stars. And Scottie won like no one else, you know, in this town in terms of people who were in the building last night. So I wasn't surprised that he got the loudest ovation. But it's different. You know, they're not – this generation of players, they have different touchstones. You know, Kobe Bryant is more their guy than even Michael Jordan would have been. And that's just by virtue of – when they were born, when they started watching the game, when they started paying attention to All-Star Saturday night.
Social media, too.
That would be Kobe more so than Michael. And it's funny you mentioned social media, Sam. We were all sitting around last night just laughing and talking. And, you know, for people like you and me and a lot of others, we started covering the league long before social media was alive.
Yeah.
So this idea that, you know, everything could be viral and, you know, could you imagine if we'd have had social media in 88 when the dunk contest was so controversial?
My goodness.
It's a different world.
Or the Malice in the Palace.
I was there, too. I was in the building that night. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a different world, you know.
Yeah.
Totally different world.
Totally is. Great to be spending some time this morning with Cinco Smith from NBA TV, NBA.com, and the Hangtime Podcast. He's there in Chicago at All-Star Weekend. Okay, Cinco, what do you expect to see today in this game? I know here in Atlanta we want to see Trae Young have a better performance than last night. The first time Atlanta's had a representative start in this game since Dikembe Mutombo. But thoughts about how you feel like things are going to unfold, and what should we watch for tonight?
Well, look, I think you're going to have a lot of guys going out trying to put on a show in tribute to Kobe Bryant. You know, all of these guys in the game have some sort of connection to him, you know, have their own individual relationships they have with Kobe, and that's going to be present on everybody's, you know, brain tonight. So whoever gets the MVP trophy is getting the first, you know, Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP award. So that's going to be important to a lot of guys. I would expect Giannis Antetokounmpo to try and go out and put on the show. But he won't be alone. I mean, every other guy out there is going to want that MVP trophy tonight. And they're going to want to be able to raise it over their heads and say a few words about Kobe Bryant when the night is over. And I don't blame him. I mean, it's been a strange trip this past few weeks trying to figure out, you know, how are we all supposed to move on from, you know, a senseless tragedy, you know, to one of the iconic, you know, players that the league has ever seen.
Yeah, that's one we had to get into yourself. I know you've been covered up in it the last couple of weeks. What can you put your last couple of weeks into words?
No, it's weird, Sam. You know, because if you have kids and if you, you know, shuttle them off to games and, you know, activities the way most of us have and coach them like the way I coach my boys when they play football in Smyrna, what happened hits you in a place that you didn't even realize was there. You know, I've talked to so many people who weren't Kobe fans, weren't NBA fans, but were parents, you know, and were Little League parents or, you know, bitty ball parents. And it's that tragedy and the way it went down hit people in so many different emotional levels, you know, that I think it's going to be really difficult to make sense of it. Even now, after, you know, after we all know what it is, and there'll be a memorial service on the 24th at Staples Center, you know, for everybody to kind of go through it again. But it's been cathartic being here this weekend, seeing the entire NBA ecosystem in one spot where everybody can kind of, you know, you get to shake hands and hug people that you see all the time, but you maybe take for granted. And now you maybe won't do that as much as we did before Kobe passed.
Sekou Smith joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sekou, I want to get your thoughts, so let's move on to the second half of this season. And it's funny because for the last few years, my partner has been sort of looking at the NBA with a skunk eye because he always knew that LeBron and the Golden State Warriors were going to be in the finals. Well, that's not going to be the case this year to some point because it looks like now the Lakers are going to be there, but I don't see anybody dethroned in this Milwaukee team going into the second half of the season and Giannis being on some sort of quest to show LeBron he wants the mantle as the best player. Heading into the second half, what do you see playing out?
Well, we all felt that way last year about the Bucks, like they were on this mission, and, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Toronto Raptors changed that. So I'm not even close to figuring out what the rest of the season is going to look like, because I think that the recent history of how things go down and who's injured and who's not and who's playing their best basketball at the right time changes so dramatically over the course of the next 28 games and then into the playoffs. Once we get into the postseason, you just don't know who's going to be prepared physically, mentally, you know, emotionally for the grind that is a championship run, you know. So what looks like a title contender right now can change over the course of the next few months. I'm excited to see how a team like Miami, you know, continues to evolve this year, because we didn't have them in the mix as a team that could possibly win a championship going into the season, but now they could very well be standing in the way of a Milwaukee trying to get there. There's a lot of basketball to be played on both sides, and I wouldn't begin to think that I have a good handle on who's coming out, because we don't know who's going to be healthy and playing their best when it matters most.
I just wanted to ask you, have you seen anybody with a bigger smile on their face these last few days than Trae Young? Being there, being a starter. I mean, a guy met Obama a few days ago, walked in on him when those guys were doing some charity work. Unfortunately, he didn't last far in the three-point contest, but players like him and these guys that are there looking – you see this every time you go to the NBA All-Star Weekend. The young players that get to see the stars, their grin never goes away. Is that correct?
Yeah, and listen, Trey and Luka Doncic especially, they are a part of a group of nine first-time All-Stars who are all walking around with those grins, you know, those grins as wide as a Chicago street. You know, they have no idea what they were in for until they got here and stepped into it. And that's the beauty of becoming an All-Star. I tell you this all the time. A player walks into his first All-Star weekend as a guy in the big game one way and leaves it with a totally different perspective, because you get to mingle with that greatness and you get a different kind of respect, you know, from the Dr. J's and the other players, former players, legends. Everybody's in town all at once. And the status of being an All-Star, no matter how you got there, whether it was voted in by the fans and the media panel and all that, or if the coaches pick you, once you ascend to that level, you join that rare fraternity. Not just you're already playing as the 1% of guys on planet Earth who can make the NBA. But once you become an all-star, you move into that velvet room. You know, you get behind the rope, and now you're part of that super elite club of guys who have been all-stars in this league, and it changes you hopefully for the better for the rest of your career.
Yeah, looking for that. You were around Commissioner Adam Silver at a press conference yesterday and talked about some things, and this is an Olympic year. We talk about that later on. Any thoughts about the Olympic team and about – I know he talked about China a little bit as well. Your thoughts about him talking about that yesterday on the eve of the All-Star game?
Yeah, look, I'm slated to go to Tokyo myself to cover the Olympics, so I'm very concerned like anybody else is about what's going on with the coronavirus, and that'll be an issue until they get it resolved or at least get it to a point where they feel comfortable. There's been no indication that anything will change, but that list of players – that are you know, going to be considered for the Olympic team is impressive. You know, this could be the last ride for certain guys. You know, LeBron James and the guys who helped turn the program around. But it's also an entree for some of these younger players, that kind of that next generation. And really, there's another group, you know, with Trey Young and John Collins and those guys involved. You know, guys who are in their second and third years, who didn't even necessarily make the list of 44 finalists this time. So this is a transition period for USA basketball. You know, they're getting ready to go from kind of a golden era with LeBron and those guys and the way they, you know, Kobe and Jason Kidd and Chris Paul and that generation of guys who helped revive the program to figuring out who becomes the staples for the next generation. There are a lot of guys who are going to want a piece of that. That gold medal action, it's a lot like that all-star stuff I was talking about. Once you get into that next level of stardom in this league, the bells and whistles that accompany it are things that resonate even with guys who are at the very top of their games.
Yeah, we'll watch for that indeed. Look, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning while you're getting your walk on. You still on Rush Street? Where you at right now?
I am. I'm on Sam right now. I'm on Rush, and I'm stopped. My sister is walking with me. She came down. We are getting ready to walk in to Stars Donuts?
Yeah.
And we're going to sit down and just smash whatever walking – Stan's Donuts, I'm sorry. We're getting ready to ruin all this walking we just did. We're getting ready to ruin it in about 3 seconds.
And he can walk down about another block, and then you make a left toward Michigan Avenue, a right – yeah, left, and he'll go by Ditka's.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right here.
Yeah, you go by Ditka's there. So you get yourself a pork chop or a steak there, pal.
Yo, thanks so much for spending some time, man. Continue to enjoy your All-Star weekend and safe travels home.
Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Sekou. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man.
All right, that is Sekou Smith. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social at Sekou Smith NBA.
I need to take you there, man.
This man's walking down Rush Street. He's talking to us walking down Rush Street.
Go down and cross street place. We got some final thoughts about NBA All-Star Weekend and a Red Shirt Sunday.
And XFL.
And Daytona 500 before we get on out of here. Yeah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
We've got coming up top of the hour, well, we don't, but you guys get to hear Willie P. and John Fricke.
Yeah.
On this day where somebody is celebrating John McEnroe's 61st birthday, talking tennis. But you know who else is 61 on this day? They're born on the same day.
Who was?
Kelly Chipuka. Remember
really?
Him?
Really?
Played for the Pistons.
Played the Pistons, played up in Charlotte.
Yeah.
For a while with the Hornets.
And also, but not on the same day.
One of the all-time great garbage men. Because he was like, he'd just be around the basket, find the ball, put it back up.
That's true.
That was him. That was his game, man. I mean, he had more game than that when he came out of college, but he just became one of the all-time great garbage men in the NBA.
And one of the most beloved players here locally, also celebrating a birthday on the college level, Mark Price.
Yeah.
56 years old.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Yeah, 56, Mark Price.
Live and direct from Enid, Oklahoma.
Enid?
Enid, Oklahoma.
I never heard of that.
Coach's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to make one shot from the free throw line. You picking anybody other than Mark Price?
That's him. Either he or Calvin Murphy.
What about Rick Barry?
I was never too crazy about that shot.
Yeah, but he was like 90% free throw shooter.
I know it. I never was crazy about that granny thing.
That underhand thing?
Yeah, I know.
It worked for him.
It did work for a long time.
That's another one of them shots that you don't think people just don't do that
anymore. You got to practice it.
Yeah.
It's like the hook shot. You got to practice it. Kids don't want to practice it. AAU coaches don't make you practice that. They let you do what you like to do.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All
you travel ball folk out there, y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know, you go try to make a kid practice something or whatnot, that kid will be out and going to another gym. So, I mean, you have to practice it. They don't want to practice.
How would you sell a young?
You got something unique. You got something unique that's going to be just yours.
Exactly. And be the next person to do the skyhook.
You know what I mean? It's going to be just yours. If you go out and here's the video. It works. It worked then. It'll work now. They don't see it. They don't see it anyway. They don't see it
online. They don't see it on SportsCenter.
They don't see it on SportsCenter. They don't see it online. Yeah. They see it as some real fuzzy, grainy looking images from that. Oh, no, man, we ain't doing that. You see how short them shorts are that dude got on? No, we ain't doing that. I'm just saying, you know, that's not cool for them.
We had a chance to talk
to
Brandon Hutchinson earlier. He's a new
GM
of Atlanta Motor Speedway, and it got you thinking about some of the changes that are coming up in NASCAR this upcoming season.
They have been looking forward to this 2020 season and the schedule, and one of the things is the revamping. They're moving some dates around, and we're the beneficiary of that. Our race is going to be in the spring once again, a better chance for better weather for the Foles of Honor Quick Trip 500 weekend, and the race will be on March 15th. But some other races have moved around. Homestead, Miami was the last race for many years. It has been moved to March 22nd. So that'll be the week after Atlanta. They're going to keep it on the coast and go down to Miami and have the race then. Yeah. The last race of the year will be Phoenix, November 8th. Usually the second race at Daytona is right around July 4th. It has been moved to the weekend before Labor Day. It's been moved to August 29th. The July 5th race will be at Indianapolis this year.
Brickyard.
Yes. So they're moving that race around. Pocono would do something we haven't seen happen. They're going to have not one but two cup races in the same weekend. So we asked Brandon about the possibility about having a second race here in Atlanta.
Not having one, getting it back.
Well, if you get it back and have it on the same weekend, that's what they're doing at Pocono. They're going to have two races there, cup races on June 27th and 28th. Will happen there. So they changed some things up with the schedule.
Yeah, but then what do you do with that other series, though, that races on Saturdays?
Maybe they race on Friday. Or they can race early on Saturday, and the Cup could race later on Saturday. Because the race there is a shorter race. It's usually 350 or 320 or something like that. So it won't be a 500. So it'll be a shorter race, which kind of plays, and we talked about getting the younger people to stay in if you got a shorter race.
So let me ask you this. You do it early. Say it was an early start for the shorter race on Saturday.
Okay.
And then you do the 500, what, making an evening race?
No.
Or late afternoon?
You're not going to do a 500.
No, well, that's what I'm asking.
You know, just the Cup Series race. You go to the Cup Series race, you're still going to make it like a 325 or 320 or 300. You know, all races are not 500s.
No,
now.
But the two that we had here were.
What, over here? Oh, well, here in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't care about Atlanta, all them other places.
Well, in Atlanta, we're gonna keep our races a 500 or whatever. I don't know if we do two 500s.
Well,
we probably would reduce them to 400s. And have them that way and have the Xfinity race, the Saturday race, have that on Friday. This year, they're going to have two races. They're going to have the trucks and the Xfinity race on Saturday this year here in Atlanta. So they're ready to do things outside of the box. The Roval course that he mentioned up in Charlotte is a lot of fun. The fall race is on a road race course set up at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I've been there many times. It's always been racing on the oval track.
Right.
They set up through the infield a road course set up, and it's a lot of fun.
All right. You know what they got up? We were watching the NBA coverage this weekend, and I had never seen this. It wasn't there when I lived there. I didn't know about it when I would go back home, but I saw it this weekend, and I'd take a special trip up there, and I'm bringing you with me. In Grant Park, they have got a Grand Prix-shaped ice rink.
That is so cool.
It is. Oh, man. It's almost worth getting in the car and driving up.
If people can picture that, usually we see just a regular rink.
Yeah.
And people skate around in a rink, but this is something. It's a different layout.
It's like a Grand Prix race. It was beautiful. And, of course, the aerial shot of it and the snow on the ground. Seiko's talking about it's a little bit warmer, which means it's probably maybe 20 degrees today. Anyway.
I think he's out walking to get donuts this morning.
Looking forward to the game tonight. Obviously, we're going to watch and see what Trey Young does. Again, I hope he busts some ankles out there and just makes up for his – the performance, I'm sure, that's eaten at him in the three-point contest, but he's had a glorious weekend up there.
He's had a great time. He's been on front page, and like I said, representing the Hawks and the future of the NBA here in our town. So he's done a great job
listening
for this season.
And doing some business.
Yeah.
That's his job. He's up there doing some business.
Yep.
He's talking to some possible free agents down the road. The virtues of
moving to here.
And
don't you want
to
be
here? We got The Rock living out there in West Cobb. Maybe we can get your house. at the movie industry here. Listen, that's a draw. I'm kind of kidding, but that's a draw.
Very much.
You got a lot of these dudes that want starting to plan for their second career. Listen, Isaiah Johnson, defensive back for the Rams. He's rehabbing right now. Played for Georgia Tech. He was on the Rams for a while. He's a friend of ours, and he is model-like. And my agent was like, you come see me when you're done playing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of actor he eventually will be, but people are looking at this city and this state as a location for their second career, given the industry being here.
That's it.
One more shot at some jobs before we turn things over to Willie P. and John Fricke. That's up next. A casting call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.